Pain and Pendergast, man. Training camp getting going. B. Scott, I have a notebook right here next to me where I write my calendar down.
Oh, yeah.
You see right there, if it shows it on the YouTube right there. And I write, just so I can glance, if I have something going on that day, I just jot it down next to that day. That way, I just know if my days are empty or full, you know, like, and so for the next.
You carry that around with you?
Well, I carry it in my backpack, you know, in my computer bag. But I literally handwrite all the dates. I've got a calendar on my phone.
I was going to say, I'm going to introduce you to Google Calendar.
No, I've got a calendar on my phone, and I put it in there too. But so I can just glance down and just see, like, oh yeah, that's right, I got that day. Camp, 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 camp. West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia. I say all this to say I'm very excited. I love this time of year. Where I look down and it just says training camp. Every day. I love training camp.
And there is something special about writing something down as opposed to typing it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't know if it's a muscle memory or if it's a subconscious thing. I don't know the science behind it.
Yeah.
But it's something about physically writing something down as opposed to typing it that's got a different kind of effect on the psyche.
Yeah. If I write it down, I have a better chance of not forgetting it.
Yeah.
And it's not an old guy thing. It's been that way forever. If I write things down, I'll remember it.
It's one of the reasons why I still keep a pen with me to this day. It's like, if I need to write something, and I probably don't do it nearly as much as you would think for somebody that's always got a pen in their pocket.
May I recommend the notebook method to you? It's very, very effective.
Yeah. I've got the reporter's pad. It's in my backpack.
Oh, but, yeah. That's right. You're an old school journo.
That's right.
Yeah. An
actual newspaper guy.
Yes.
So
yes.
I carry those around.
Good man.
Sometimes in my back pocket.
Good man. All right. So ESPN on the eve of the season of training camp, at least yesterday, ranked the 32 rosters around the NFL. 32 rosters. The rosters of all 32 teams. Let me see which ESPN scribe did this, so I can give proper attribution.
I would expect them to do like the group thing.
Contributors. Yep, yeah, there it is. Yeah, it's a writer by the name of Multiple Contributors.
There you go.
Yeah. And they're basically ranking the rosters of all these teams based on talent level. I don't know. I'm a bit of a homer. I know that. 13th for the Houston Texans felt a little low to me.
A little low.
It felt a little low. And as you page down, as you scroll down on this rank, you know, like the Baltimore Ravens are number one.
Yeah.
And that
shocker.
That maps to that aligns with my feeling on the Baltimore Ravens, which I've said many, many times. I know the Chiefs had the best record last year. I know the Bills are the ones that beat the Ravens in the postseason. Shout out to Mark Andrews. The Ravens, I felt all season long last year, and my feeling has not changed on this, that And some of this probably has to do with the fact that this is the one team that not just beats the DeMeco Ryans Texans, but beats them like a drum.
Yeah.
Is that the A game for the Ravens is the best of any A game of any NFL team. Like, if everybody brought their best game to the playoffs, I would pick the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the problem with the Ravens is that they often don't bring
their C game sometimes.
Yeah, they bring, it seems like, their best games usually come in the regular season. Right now, they feel like a regular season team,
mm-hmm.
like a regular season type of champion.
Yep.
That everything that you just said about them is like the ultimate eye test team. And I'm not saying, you know, they got stats that will wow you too. But if you just like drop somebody off from a different planet and it's like, hey, you know, I know you don't know anything about football, but just what team looks more dominant, imposing, and like more of an issue than the next? And it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens every time.
Well, they would look at Derrick Henry and say, hey, he was from our planet.
Right.
You know, like,
How did he get here before we did?
He looks like an alien in a good way. Yeah.
And then it doesn't help that they've got the most unique quarterback situation. Like with Lamar Jackson, I mean, between this combination of skill and like, that's probably the most unique quarterback on top of being great.
Yes.
And then you got Derrick Henry back there running it with them.
Well, and they run it. They're a well-run team. Like, they know what they're doing. Malachi Starks drops to 27th in the draft, the safety out of Georgia. He's a Baltimore Raven now. Like,
yeah.
Kyle Hamilton drops to 14. You know, like, it's they are really good at taking advantage of the mistakes that the other 31 teams make in the draft.
You especially being a Notre Dame guy, how predictable was it once they drafted Kyle Hamilton Kyle Hamilton was going to be great?
He's already
a really, really good player.
Seth said it on draft night when they drafted him. When the Ravens...
Hall of Fame.
A lot of mock drafts had the Ravens getting Kyle Hamilton, and we were like, do not let this happen.
Yeah.
Do not let this... Don't get fooled by his 40 time. You know who doesn't get fooled by 40 times? The Baltimore Ravens. That's why I love Kamari Lassiter here. They ignored the 40 time with him. He's just a ball player like Kyle Hamilton.
Exactly.
Now, he's not Kyle Hamilton yet, you know, of cornerbacks, but he's really good. But it's the same thought process, which is who gives a crap what he ran wearing spandex in Indianapolis?
It's like, do you football, bro?
Yeah, man. So here's what they say about the Texans. Texans are 13th on this list. Text in 713-572-4610. Does 13th feel high, low? Because it's an interesting conundrum because the Texans have won the division twice, so that's good. So you would think, okay, a two-time division winner who has won a playoff game pretty resoundingly each of those seasons as well, finished one of the last eight teams standing, intuitively you would go, well, that's a top 10 team. And then you look at their division where there's not another team that's above 22 on this list, and you go, okay, well, that's a big reason why they're 10-7 these last couple years. Biggest strength for the Texans, according to this, edge rusher. And I agree. Talks about Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, and those are the big names, obviously. But then the others at that position, like Denico Autry, if he can stay healthy and unsuspended, is a productive football player. Derek Barnett has been he was a waiver pickup 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he's one of these guys that feels like he's just going to sign back here for a few million bucks every year. It's what he's done the last 2 years. And I'm anxious, you know, like under the radar name, I'm anxious to watch a training camp. This Daryl Taylor, the guy they signed from Chicago.
He is a favorite of places like the text line, Texans Reddit, like the deep pockets of
like 24 sacks in four
internet.
Seasons. Yeah.
He's a kind of a sleeper.
Yeah.
And Derek Barnett, by the way, as a backup, like Derek Barnett, I think could start for a handful of teams. You know, like he is that good. The fact that he's just kind of tucked away as a depth piece, I think is an extreme luxury item for the Texans.
There are not a lot of positions that are open. I mean, they're gonna pay lip service to competition at all this stuff. And I do feel like the offensive line is a very competitive room right now because they're not settled on any permutation of guys. But on defense, especially some of these, I forget who I saw. I think it was Jonathan Alexander did a 53-man yesterday, like a pre-training camp 53-man roster.
Yeah.
And it really is like there's. If you're a young guy trying to make this team, whereas like 3 years ago when Kirk Heinisch is making the team as an undrafted guy, if you're an undrafted guy here in this camp, you're just trying to get on the practice squad.
Yeah. So if you're a guy on this defense, if you're somebody that's on the Texans defense right now.
Seats are all taken right now,
man. And let's say you don't know if you're on the team. You don't know if you're going to make the team. It's kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
It means you're not
going to. You're not making the team.
You're probably not making the team.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's a question, then the answer's no.
Yep. Yeah. Biggest weakness, ironically, not offensive line. Interior defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, we got to disagree with this, right?
Well, I'm disagreeing with it. This is where there is, I think, a disconnect between the national media and local. Where we see these guys, and none of them are, you know, none of them are Aaron Donald, obviously. But for what they are, it's a pretty productive group. And defensive line is one of those positions where if D'Amico Ryans is the head coach, whatever a guy is, whatever his ceiling is, you're going to get that plus like another 10% out of him in D'Amico Ryans' defense.
Yeah.
Defensive linemen overachieve in this defense.
So for me, I think the obvious answer would be the offensive line. And
you could
go interior, you could go tackle. I mean, they've remade the whole thing for the most part. I don't know how you don't go offensive line. That's the easy pick. But even if you wanted to take a harder pick and just stay on the defensive side of the ball, I've got far less confidence in the linebacking group than I do the interior defensive line. Like, I know yesterday I had Christian Harris as my breakout candidate if we were to have one. But, I mean, I thought you raised a pretty solid counter-argument for Christian Harris and, by proxy, that entire group.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's more questions than answers, I feel like, with the linebacking core as opposed to the defensive tackles. Maybe you're not overwhelmed. Maybe you're even a little bit underwhelmed. But I feel like you should know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty solid play, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, you only need four of them, you know. And the linebacker, I'm not sure after Azeez Al-Shaair what we're getting. You know, Christian Harris is the most talented out of all of them. But he can't stay healthy. Henry Toa improved last year, but I think there's a ceiling on what he can do.
Yeah. Brought in E.J. Speed.
Well, and there's a reason E.J. Speed signed a one-year deal for $3+ million.
True.
You know, like if he were the solution, he'd be getting paid a lot more money by somebody probably not the Texans. We had somebody bring this up on the text page yesterday. Like, The Texans, when we were talking about the defense, saying they're just, they need a, they're a stud defensive tackle away from being that kind of defense.
Damn, how many studs do you want on the defense, man? And I mean, that's true. They don't have a stud defensive tackle, but they got a lot of studs on the defense.
Yeah, you can't have all pros everywhere.
God dang.
Unless you knock the draft out of the park, you can't have all pros everywhere because you can't afford them. You have to have cheap labor. I replied to that texter yesterday, not on the air, but off the air. And I said, the next stud defensive interior defensive lineman the Texans will have, they'll have another one someday, is playing in college right now. Or maybe even high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even high school. Like they are, you're about to sign C.J. Stroud to a contract in a year. You're about to sign Will Anderson Jr. to a massive contract in a year, presumably. And there's going to be others that you either need to pay or are already paying, like Derek Stingley, Danielle Hunter.
The Nico Collins deal is going to be due at some point.
Someone's going to get paid on the offensive line at some point, we hope. So all of those things. And I think defensive tackle is going to be a position that is going to be a journeyman position where you're finding guys that are swarmy, for lack of a better word. You know, they subscribe to the D'Amico Ryan's way of doing business. And you can get like a Tim Settle year out of these guys. Tim Settle was a really productive player for them last year. Or you're going to draft a guy and he turns into one of these guys you're going to want to give a $25 million contract to someday. Well, the next stud they get is in college right now.
Well, this ESPN piece, in noting the Texans' biggest strengths, they mention edge rusher, but they also say that it's a toss-up between edge rusher and cornerback. I feel like as long as that's the case, as long as the strength of the defense is the edge rushers and the cornerback.
Premium positions.
And on the younger side, we're talking namely Will Anderson Jr. And hell, with the cornerbacks, both guys are young. I know Derek Stingley just got paid, but Stingley and Kamari Lassiter are still both relatively young players. Obviously, Kamari Lassiter going into his second season. As long as that's the case, I don't feel like defensive tackle is going to be a premium position for them, especially when those positions are premium.
Again, unless they draft a guy and they strike gold with him. They're not going to go shopping for it. I'm with you on that. They play 7 of the 12 teams in front of them. My biggest surprise is on this. Okay, so we're going through ESPN ranking the 32 rosters around the NFL. If you're just getting in your car, the Texans are 13th on this list. As I was paging down on this list, it goes Baltimore, it goes Philly, 3rd is Detroit, 4th is Buffalo. There's nothing that's jumping out at me so far. Kansas City being 5th is something we're not used to seeing. You know, they've typically been a team that's 1 or 2 on lists like this,
but also feels about right.
Yeah. No, it's a little jarring, but it's not incorrect. Denver at 6.
So I've got a couple of problems with the list ahead of the Texans. I'll be honest with you, Sean. This one's not one of them.
Maybe not at six.
I don't love them, but I do think that you can make a case for them above the Texans. So if we're just making that argument. Yeah. I can go with that. Now, 6 is a little rich for my blood, but ahead of the Texans, I don't have a huge problem.
Okay, stop me when you get to the one that's a problem. All right.
I will.
7 at Commanders at 7.
I get it. I don't actually agree, but I get it based off of everything that happened.
Rams at 8.
That's the one that surprised me a little bit, but I also get that one too.
Okay, Rams at 8. Texans play them, by the way, in the opener. Okay, Cincinnati at 9.
Come on now. What are we doing?
You're Joe Burrowing is what you're doing right there.
You got to be like, – and all
that's
due
a,
respect.
That's a top-heavy rating right
look,
there.
Joe Burrow's that dude. Yeah. Like, I don't have to sell anybody on Joe Burrow. I'm probably preaching to the choir. Everybody thinks highly of Joe Burrow. But after that, we're talking about Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. And then just – like, I was just watching that quarterback series. I finished it up last night finally.
Okay.
And I'm looking around like, man, poor Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Like, they don't deserve, that organization doesn't deserve this guy.
Nope.
And, like, he's basically carrying him on his shoulders for the past 5 years or so now. Like, I don't get how, as a if we're just talking about quarterback rankings, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about quarterback plus weapons rankings, that's another thing. An entire team, the Bengals ain't it to me.
No, look at the defense. I don't know how you look at this defense and say that whatever they're doing offensively counters how piss poor this defense is enough to put them 4 spots ahead of the Texans. I mean, the Texans have some really good offensive players. Their line is at best a work in progress. I get that.
Dude, I lost track of how many times Joe Burrow and that offense got them 30 plus points and they still lost the game last year.
They still lost. Well, that's what that quarterback, the quarterback documentary felt like. It was 50% documentary on how awful the Bengals defense was.
Yeah.
But they're like, they have the roster, you know, they have the depth chart, the starters on each side of the ball for all these teams. Trey Hendrickson is on here. He's in a contract dispute with the team. Shamar Stewart is on here. He's not even around the team right now. Yeah. We'll have audio from Mike Brown later in the show where you're going to be really glad that this is a city where they have an actual GM and not the owner running the team.
Yeah.
Dallas is another one. But I'm looking at these guys they have on defense. Like, yeah, no, Cincinnati, definitely B. Scott. San Francisco, 10. Minnesota, 11. Tampa Bay, 12, just to close out the teams that are above the Texans. By the way, the AFC South, Jacksonville 22, Indy 25, Tennessee 28.
Yeah, I don't love Minnesota or Tampa above the Texans.
I don't either.
And I think Minnesota's a fine team. I think Tampa's a fine team.
Yeah.
But I don't love them above the Texans. So those would be the three that stand out to me. Cincy, Minnesota, and Tampa being above the Texans, well, I don't have that.
We'll find out about L.A. and Tampa early because those are their first two opponents of the season. Texans open with two NFC teams. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. B. Scott in for Seth Payne today and tomorrow. We'll be out at Texans training camp tomorrow. Up next, headlines. Astros win last night. Texans make a signing. We've got some other headlines that we'll get to as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.